cargo pants, and I don't know what the hell kind of shirt he's wearing. He always looks like an idiot, in my opinion. This guy's much better dressed. That's a nice keffiyeh there. Look at that. Well, hello there, my friends. Rafa here from the End Game Investor with this week's Silver Report for Arcadia Economics. I'm sorry I missed you guys last week. I had fallen slightly ill, and Chris gave me a week off. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Chris and Yara. I am better now, and we can continue. So it looks like we have a little bit of a rally since around June 27th. I would be a little cautious of it, though. We could get whipsawed here because it looks like open interest has gone too high, too fast in the gold market, which is reflected, of course, in the silver market. It doesn't necessarily mean that this rally won't be sustained, but it does mean to stay cautious here and not to buy fully emotionally into this rally since June 27th. We could see a few more drops from here in the short term. Though, compared to commodities in the silver and gold to commodities ratio, we look to be in a healthy bull market that continues with a decisive break of the 200-week moving average, and we should continue higher and higher into eventually the end game. Silver keeps hitting new highs relative to platinum, and yes, platinum is also at all-time lows relative to gold, so both gold and silver are at record highs in platinum terms, which means if you've always wanted some platinum and you've always wanted it as part of your stacks, now is a good time to get a little bit. Silver premiums have been dead on arrival for a while now. The markets, the physical markets, have calmed, and still, despite that, prices hover near all-time highs in gold and above 30 in silver. So imagine what happens to the price when physical demand comes back into the picture. We have word out from Bloomberg that Saudi Arabia threatened to sell a bunch of European bonds if Russian assets were confiscated, which has me thinking, what is going on behind closed doors between Japan and the US? Very easily, Japan could threaten to sell a whole bunch of treasuries if the US does not lower interest rates and erase the spread between the yen and the dollar, which is weakening the yen, which is now near 162 yen per dollar, a 1986 low. There's a lot of threats going on behind closed doors. We just don't know what they are.
Make a move and the bunny gets it.
Because we're not part of the world something organization of whatever. What is it called? The New World Order? Who knows? And finally, as I wrote on the Endgame Investor on Substack, the unemployment numbers show that we should be in the next, and I believe final recession, anytime now, because it's been 14 months since the unemployment rate bottomed, and that's usually how long it takes between the unemployment rate bottoming and the next recession to become official. And this one is going to be a nasty one, because we've got a lot of banks that are hundreds and billions of dollars underwater. Before we get to the slides, this week's Silver Report is brought to you by Fortuna Mining, symbol FSM. What's the S for? It's a legacy letter for silver, because we all know where they came from, and we all know where they're going. The latest news from Fortuna Mining is good news, symbol FSM, Vancouver, British Columbia, July 9th. Fortuna Mining reports production results for the second quarter 2024 from its five operating mines in West Africa and Latin America. Gold equivalent production of 116,570 ounces, a 25% increase compared to quarter two of 2023, and a 4% increase sequentially compared to last quarter, Q1 of 2024. Gold production was 92,716 ounces, a 44% increase over Q2 of 2023, and a 3% increase sequentially from last quarter. Silver production is down, but it is more than made up for by the increase in gold production. As we see, Fortuna is becoming more of a gold miner as we move into the months ahead. Well, yeah, of course it's going to be ahead. Can't move behind. And if you look at the five-year log chart, we can see here that we are at one of the final resistance zones of the last 5 years that we touched in October 2021. If we can break through here and sustain it, we could be in a new trading range for Fortuna in the medium to long term, and we won't have to deal with the $3 to $5 zone anymore as we head into an environment where precious metals become more and more recognized as money by the public. I did notice yesterday, meaning Wednesday of this week, that there was some pretty good signs of strength in the miners in general, and Fortuna being one of the stronger mining companies. I think this stock will continue to outperform. And as full disclosure, I do own FSM. And so with that, let's get to today's presentation. So first of all, we have this chart of open interest that I got from Gold Charts R Us, as usual, and it's a little bit doctored. I doctored it because I wanted to bring it to update with the CME website. This chart is usually on a one-day lag, and I wanted to show you today's open interest numbers, and today is Thursday as I'm recording this. It is right now, it says here, 516,324 contracts, but the actual number is 529,950, if I remember correctly. So I put in the candlestick over here a little bit taller by adding in this color, and I did it all in paint. I am an amazing modern artist, and you can ask me for paint tips in the comments below. I'll be glad to answer any questions. So anyway, we have this open interest chart. You can see here that open interest has really climbed since the June 27th bottom in gold. And of course, silver follows gold here. I'm using the gold chart as a proxy. So June 27th, we had a low of about $2,300. And now we're at close to $2,400, I think $2,380 last time I looked, or wherever it is now when you're watching this, I don't know. So we had a low here of about 440,000 contracts on that low in the gold market, and now we're at 530,000. So that's 90,000 contracts. Not much of a price move, but a big move in open interest that's making me a little bit nervous. This open interest is making me nervous.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Not really nervous. It's more that I'm just being cautious here. I don't quite trust this rally in dollar terms, at least. I'll show you the rally in commodity terms, which is much more promising. I still think there could be some whipsawing action in the days, maybe a week or two ahead. Just stay cautious here and expect it and play nice, basically. So that doesn't mean that this is a fake rally. It could be real, but because you look here, in March, and we did have a major rally in price here and a huge rally in open interest. And then what we really want to see is this, though, right? This is price moving up from about 2150, it looks like, to a high of a 2450. So we had about a $300 move here, and open interest didn't really do much at all. That keeps the bullish fuel alive, as long as you don't keep rising and rising in open interest. So I remember when open interest hit an all-time record of 850,000 contracts, that was in the eve of the March smash, which took a lot of people out of the game, unfortunately. So for that reason, just stay cautious here. If you're trading, especially if you're stacking, it doesn't really matter that much because premiums are very low right now. You can still get a pretty good deal on physical. Call Miles Franklin and mention Arcadia Economics, of course. I don't remember if I talked about this previously two or three weeks ago, but silver has at an all-time high relative to platinum. This is actually the platinum to silver ratio, how many ounces of silver it takes to buy 1 ounce of platinum. Now, I don't recommend stacking platinum. I never did. But if you've always wanted some platinum just to diversify, just to have it because it is a really cool metal to own, now would be the time to exchange some silver if you have any extra or too much in your safe or it's too heavy or whatever, you want to free up some room. Then you could take some of your silver and buy some platinum at a very good deal right now. It's about 32 ounces. See here the ratio is 32.07. That's what it is today as well. So it takes 32 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of platinum. And we've only gone below that one time in history. And that was in 1980 when we were about 18, close to 15 to one. And there was that 15 to one ratio again in Endgame. I guess it also goes that way in platinum as well. But yeah, you're not going to get much better prices than this, I don't think, in terms of platinum for silver, if you want to do some trading. Or maybe Miles Franklin will take your silver and give you some platinum. Could be. Ask Chris. Maybe he knows. He would know. It's his channel. Gold at all-time high versus platinum. One more thing about platinum, you can see that if you want to trade some of your gold, I am not trading gold for platinum. I don't have that much gold and I want to keep it. But if you have a little bit more than you want and you want some platinum instead, it's a good time to trade some gold for platinum if that's what you want. Silver premiums are dead on arrival. We're at 7.96%. premium on junk silver relative to the spot price. This is almost prior to silver squeeze. Silver squeeze is right here where I am circling at the beginning of 2021. There was this big jump on Silver Squeeze, and then we moved up from there to about 50% right before 2023, about October, November 2022. And we've been going down ever since. Demand is kind of soft right now, and I see that on my channel as well. So this is going to wake up pretty soon, I think, after the next banking crisis. It's going to wake up very powerfully. And we'll see what happens then. But if you want to get a good deal on physical silver or physical gold right now, now's the time to buy because premiums are very, very low. Silver versus commodities continuing a healthy bull market. So we talked about how I don't trust the dollar rally so much, or the current one since June 27th, very minor short-term rally here. But what I am seeing on silver versus commodities is that we have broken decisively through the 200-week moving average. We broke through it once here, and we settled back down to test again, and now we've broken through it again. So it looks like we're decisively above the 200-week moving average. This is a very rare signal, as goes silver bull markets relative to other commodities. It means that the value of silver is rising relative to other commodities because its moneyness is starting to wake up again. And the logical way that works is that other commodities do not have monetary demand. Silver has monetary demand, and everyone needs money. Therefore, everyone needs silver as the moneyness of silver is recognized. So this bull market should continue higher and higher as the moneyness of silver becomes recognized as the dollar fails, because as the dollar fails, people with currency are going to realize that they have nothing and they're going to need a money, and there is no spontaneous agreement on money. It has to go back to the past, and the past is gold and silver is the public and gold is the banks. That's how it is. That is monetary reality, and there's no arguing it, really. I mean, you could, it just doesn't make any sense. So anyway, we had the break of the 200-week moving average in 2008, which led to a huge rally up to the $50 top. This top relative to commodities was not as high, but this was the $50 top around here in May 2011. We had another break of the 200-week moving average around here in 2015 at the end of the gold bear market. That sealed the end of the bear market, that break of the 200-week moving average. Another break of the 200-week moving average relative to other commodities right here, prior to the all-time record high of silver relative to other commodities at about 0.22, 0.23 or something like that. And we have another break over here. This is the fourth break since the 2008 financial crisis. These are very rare signals. Pay attention to it now, because even though we might be whipsawing relative to dollars, I think we are on the next leg up relative to other commodities in silver. This is an interesting story, and I wanted to transpose it on something that might be happening in the currency markets. I don't have any direct evidence of this, but I don't see why it wouldn't be happening, especially if the Bank of Japan would be panicking. So we have, this is from Bloomberg. The title is Saudis warned G7 over Russia seizures with debt sale threat. The Saudis did not want Europe to seize Russian assets from its central bank, anything that was stored in other European central banks, like the European Central Bank. Touche. And so apparently this made the mainstream media. Read the first paragraph here. Saudi Arabia privately hinted earlier this year that it might sell some European debt holdings if the Group of Seven decided to seize almost $200 billion of Russia's frozen assets, people familiar with the matter said. So Saudi Arabia is playing both sides here. It's on the U.S.'s side and it's on Russia's side. And let's see what move they make when the U.S. Eventually falls monetarily. It's going to be an interesting story in Saudi Arabia. And why doesn't this guy, Zelensky is his name, why doesn't he ever wear anything respectable? He looks like a bum, or like a street bum with the cargo pants. And I don't know what the hell kind of shirt he's wearing. He always looks like an idiot, in my opinion. This guy's much better dressed. That's a nice keffiyeh there. Look at that. But anyway, it says at the bottom here, the Saudis specifically mentioned debt issued by the French treasury. They threatened the French to sell their debt. Wow. So my point here is to speculate that if this goes on behind closed doors, and that's how they stop Europe from selling, from seizing Russian assets, basically, what is going on behind closed doors with the Bank of Japan and the Fed? It could very well be that that if the yen starts to really collapse, it could be that the Fed will lower interest rates in order to save the yen, because otherwise the Bank of Japan is going to have to sell a lot of treasuries, and I don't think the Fed wants that. So we could be having these same threatening conversations between those two central banks.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
I don't know if this is happening, but if I were the Bank of Japan and I had a collapsing currency and the only thing I could do was sell U.S. debt or watch my currency collapse, I would let the Fed know and tell them to lower interest rates so they would erase the spread between the dollar and the yen and save my currency.
Well, do you, punk?
This is just rational thinking here. Finally, I wrote about this on the Endgame Investor on Substack. Please subscribe there at endgameinvestor.substack.com. You can subscribe for free. And of course, if you want to support me, become a paying subscriber for a very small amount of dollars. We have here unemployment numbers. By unemployment numbers, the final recession should be due at any time. I put here the unemployment rate. So we have here, I highlighted here each time the unemployment rate bottomed prior to a recession. We have here March 1989 at 5%. 16 months later, we had the first gray area here. That is the 1990 recession. April 2000, unemployment rate bottomed at 3.8%. 11 months later, 2001 recession, and that accompanied with it the dot-com bubble burst, et cetera, et cetera. May 2007, that was the low in the unemployment rate prior to the 2008 great financial crisis. 7 months later, 16 months, 11 months, 7 months. I'm discounting this because it was lockdown induced and people tell me that I shouldn't discount it, but I am because this was a special case here. This was artificially induced unemployment. So we have here April 2023, a bottom in the unemployment rate at 3.4%. And now we are at 4.1%. The trend is clearly up now. It's been 14 months since the unemployment rate bottomed. The longest we have here is 16 months, so it could be 2, 3, 4 months out ahead. It's measured in months is the point here. The next recession has to be months away. I don't know how many months. I don't know what other wrenches are in the system to help prolong it, but it's not going to be many years from now. And once we hit the final recession, we will hit the final printing round. And once we do that, I personally believe we will be on a beeline for the end game. You can disagree with that. You could say maybe there's one more cycle ahead. I don't think so because I'm looking at the curves and they look more vertical and closer to that stage. And Mises's crack up boom should be ahead. This is Rafi of the Endgame Investor. If you like this video, then subscribe to the Endgame Investor on Substack, where you can get this stuff 3 to 4 times a week to have a front row seat to the endgame as it occurs. And you can also become a patron on Patreon for as little as $3 a month to get my biblical ideas regarding money and government and other topics that we discuss on our channels all the time. On the next Patreon video, we're going to talk about why the entire leadership needs to be replaced because everyone who was involved in the crimes of 2020 to 2022 cannot lead any country. If it became a medically obsessed country, and we all know what I'm talking about, then all those leaders have to go because they are incapable of leading their people. And we need an entirely new slate of leaders. Whether it will become democratically or not, we'll see what happens because things are getting rough. This is Rafi, the Endgame Investor, and I'll see you guys next week.